August 22nd, Jesus says, I told you one day that the eternal envious one seeks to copy God in all God's manifestations. God as his faithful archangels, Satan as his, Michael, God's witness, as a hellish imitator, and so does Gabriel, God's strength. The first beast, on coming out of the sea, who with a blasphemous voice as the deluded proclaim, who is like a beast, corresponds to Michael, vanquished and wounded by the latter in the battle between God's hosts and Lucifer's. At the beginning of time, healed by Satan, he feels deathly hate towards Michael, and love, if love can be spoken of among the demons, but it is better to say absolute subjection, for Satan, a faithful minister of his accursed king, he uses intelligence to do harm to the descendants of man, God's creature, and to serve his master. Limitless, measureless forces used by him to persuade man, to cancel out my sign on his own, which horrifies the spirits of darkness. Once it is removed, by sin which takes away grace, the luminous chrism upon your being, the beast can approach, and induce man to worship him, as if he were a god, and serve him in crime. If man reflected on the kind of subjection he gives himself over to by wedding sin, he would not sin. But man does not reflect. He looks at the moment and the joy of the moment, and, worse than that, he exchanges God's fatherhood for a plate of lentils. Satan, however, does not use only this violent seducer of man. No matter how little man reflects, in general, there are still too many men who, not out of love, but out of fear of punishment, do not want to sin seriously, and then the other satanic minister appears, the second beast. In the guise of a lamb, he has the spirit of a dragon. It is the second manifestation of Satan and corresponds to Gabriel, for he announces the beast, and, is his strongest force. The one that dismantles without seeming to, and persuades with lying sweetness that, it is right to follow in the beast's footsteps. It is useless to speak of political power, and of the earth. No. If anything, you can apply to the former, the name of human power, and to the latter, that of human knowledge. And if power by itself produces rebels, knowledge, when it is only human, corrupts without producing rebellion and leads a boundless number of initiates to perdition. How many are lost through mental pride causing them to scorn the faith, and kill the soul with the pride which separates them from God? For if I will reap the harvest of the earth on the last day, there is already a reaper in your midst. And it is this spirit of evil, who cuts you down, and doesn't turn you into ears of eternal grain, but into straw for the dwelling places of Satan. One science alone, is necessary, I will repeat 1,000 times. To know God and serve him, to know him in things, to see him in events, and be able to distinguish him from his adversary so as not to fall into perdition. Instead, you are concerned about increasing human knowledge to the detriment of superhuman knowledge. I do not condemn knowledge. Rather, I am pleased that man should deepen the insights he has gradually been building up by knowledge, so as to be able to comprehend increasingly, and admire me in my works. I have given you intelligence for this. But you must use it to see God in the law of the star, in the formation of the flower, in the conception of a being, and not use intelligence to violate life or deny the Creator. Rationalism, humanism, philosophism, theosophism, naturism, classicism, Darwinism, you have schools and doctrines of all kinds, and are concerned about them all, no matter how much truth is very distorted or suppressed in them. You do not want to follow and deepen knowledge of the school of Christianity alone. A natural resistance, moreover. In deepening knowledge of religious culture, you would be obliged either to follow the law, and you do not want to do so, or to confess openly that you want to trample upon the law. And you don't want to do this either. You thus do not want to become learned in supernatural knowledge. But, poor fools, what will you do with your little schools and your little words, when you have to take my examination? You have extinguished the infinite light of true knowledge in yourselves, and have believed you are illuminating your souls with substitutes for light, just like some poor madman seeking to put out the sun by making a lot of little lamps into a new sun. But even if mists hide the sun is always in my firmament. But even if with your doctrines you create mists concealing knowledge and truth, truth and knowledge always exist, for they come from me, who am eternal. Seek true knowledge and you will understand knowledge as it should be understood. Free your souls of all the artificial superstructures, and lift up the true faith therein. Like spires of a spiritual cathedral, knowledge, wisdom, intellect, and fortitude and humility and continence will bloom thereupon, for the true sage knows not only what is humanly knowable, but knows what is hardest of all. How to master himself in the passions of the flesh, and make his lower part the pedestal, to lift up his soul and launch his spirit towards the heavens, to meet me, who come unto him in all things, and who love to be the true and holy master of my brothers and sisters. Later, still on August 22nd, Jesus says, the 7 last plagues correspond to the 7 peals of thunder not described. As always, they are figurative descriptions wherein reality is not totally excluded, however. I will explain to you, what I deem appropriate, to be explained to you in them. The first is the ulcer. Beginning with the times of Moses, I punished creatures who had committed unforgivable sins against me with disgusting diseases. The body of the sister of Moses, Mary, was covered with leprosy for having spoken badly about my servant, Moses. How can the same, and even worse, fail to happen to those who speak ill of their God? Leprosy, or whatever kind of ulcer, spreads more and more, because more and more you have spread your sins against God, and against the admirable work of God that you are. When you wrap yourselves in lust, don't you perhaps think you are committing a sin against God? Well, you certainly are, for you profane your bodies, where the Spirit resides to receive me, the Supreme Spirit. And how far is man's lust going, when carried out with a cold, deliberate will? It is best not to examine closely this abyss of repugnant human degradation. I tell you that certain animals were called unclean, but man has already surpassed them, and will surpass them even more, and if a new animal could be created, obtained by crossing monkeys with serpents and pigs, it would be even less unclean than certain men with the appearance of man, but with an interior more lascivious and repellent than the atheist animal. As I told you, mankind is splitting increasingly the spiritual portion, as scanty as can be, is ascending. The carnal portion, extremely numerous, is descending. It is descending to a frightful depth of vice. When the time of wrath has come, mankind will have reached the perfection of vice. And would you like the inner stench of their dead souls not to ooze out and corrupt the flesh, worship more than I am used for all forms of prostitution? And as the ulcers will be provoked by you, so you will fill the sea, and the river waters with blood. You are already filling them with your slaughters, and the inhabitants of the waters are diminishing, killed by you, contributing to your hunger. You have trampled upon the gifts which God has given you for your material needs to such a point that earth, sky, and waters are becoming your enemies, and deny you the fruits of the earth, and the inhabitants of the waters, rivers, forests, and air. You kill. You even kill. You trample on the law of love and forgiveness. You shed your brothers' and sisters' blood, and especially the blood of the good, whom you persecute precisely because they are good. Be careful, though, that God will not one day force you to satisfy your hunger and your thirst with the blood you have shed, in contrast to my order of peace and love. You are rebels against the laws I have given you. Rebels against you are the stars and planets which have until now given you light and heat as you needed, obeying the rules I have indicated out of goodness towards you. Repugnant illnesses as a mark of your vice, blood in the waters bearing witness to all the blood you have wanted to shed, and in the midst of it there is mine, fire from the sun, to give you a foretaste of the eternal embers awaiting the accursed, darkness, to warn you that darkness awaits whoever hates the light, all of this to lead you to reflect and repent. And it will be of no use. You will go on plummeting. You will go on making your alliances with evil, preparing the way for the kings of the east, that is, for assistance from the son of evil. My angels seem to be the ones that are bringing the plagues. In reality, you are. You want them, and you shall have them. Having become dragons and beasts yourselves, by having wedded the dragon and the beast, you will give birth to unclean beings from your corrupt insides. The absolute demoniacal doctrines which, by performing false prodigies, will seduce the powerful and drag them into battle against God. You will be so perverted that you will take what is a hellish creation to be heavenly prodigies. Maria, now I will take your hand, to lead you to the most obscure point in John's book. The annotators of it have exhausted their capacity in many deductions to explain to themselves, and to the multitudes, who the great Babylon is. With a human view to which the jolts left by desired events, or by events taking place, were not unconnected, they have given the name of Babylon to many things. But how is it that they have never considered that the great Babylon is the whole earth? I would be a very small and limited God the Creator if I had created only the earth as an inhabited world. With a beat of my will I have brought forth worlds upon worlds from nothing, and cast them as luminous fine dust into the immensity of the firmament. The earth, about which you are so proud and fierce, is nothing but one, the biggest one. It is certainly the most corrupt one, though. Lives upon lives are teeming in the millions of worlds which are the joy of your gaze on peaceful nights, and the perfection of God will appear to you when, with the intellectual sight of your spirits rejoined to God, you are able to see the wonders of those worlds. Isn't the earth really the great harlot that has committed fornication with all the powers of earth and hell, and haven't the earth's inhabitants prostituted themselves bodies and souls, just to triumph during the earthly day? That is certainly the case. The crimes of the earth have all the names of blasphemy, as the beast does with whom the earth and its inhabitants have allied themselves just to triumph. The seven sins are like a horrendous ornament on the head of the beast, who transports the earth and those of the earth to the pastures of evil, and the ten horns, a metaphorical number, serve to demonstrate the limitless acts of wickedness committed just to obtain, at any cost, what his ferocious covetousness wants. Isn't the earth really soaked with the blood of the martyrs, inebriated by this holy liquor, which, having been drunk by its sacrilegious mouth, has changed therein into a filter for accursed drunkenness? the beast that carries it, the compendium and synthesis of all the evil done from Adam on just to triumph in the world, and in the flesh, draws behind him those who, by adoring him, will become king for an hour of an accursed kingdom. You are kings as children of God, and it is an eternal kingdom. But you become kings for an hour of an accursed kingdom when you worship Satan, who can only give you an ephemeral triumph paid for at the price of an eternity of horror. The beast, John says, was and is not. At the end of the world, that is the way it will be. He was, because he has really existed. He is not because I, the Christ, will have defeated and buried him, because he will no longer be necessary then for the triumphs of the world. Isn't the earth seated on the waters of her seas, and hasn't she made use of these to do harm? What has she not made use of? Peoples, nations, races, boundaries, interests, food, expansions, everything has been of use to her to fornicate and carry out enormous homicides and betrayals like that of Judas. Her own children, nourished by her with the blood of sin, will accomplish God's vengeance upon her, by destroying themselves, bringing the sum of the crimes against God and against man to the perfect number which demands the thundering of my enough. In that hour the blood of the martyrs and prophets, steaming with a smell pleasing to my throne, will seethe, and the clods of the earth which have gathered in the moans of those slain out of hatred for me, and received their last shudders will cast forth the loud cry made up of all those holy moans, and will tremble with anguished convulsion, shaking men's cities and homes, where there is sinning and killing, and filling the vault of the heavens with a voice calling for justice. And there will be justice. I will come. I will come, because I am faithful and truthful. I will come to bring peace to the faithful, and holy judgment to those who have lived. I will come with my name, whose meaning is known to me alone, and in whose letters are the main attributes of God, of whom I am part and whole. Right Jesu. Grandeur, eternity sanctity, unity right. Christo. Charity, redemption, immensity sapience, trinity, omnipotence of God summarized in the name of the Word made man. And if you think some attributes are missing, consider that justice is comprehended in holiness, for whoever is holy is just, royalty, and grandeur, and creation, and omnipotence. In my name the praises of God are thus proclaimed. A holy name whose sound terrifies the demons. Name of life that give life, light, and strength for whoever loves and invokes you. Name which is a crown upon my head as the victor over the beast and his prophet, who will be taken, driven down, submerged, and buried in the liquid, eternal fire whose corrosive ferocity is inconceivable for human sensation. It will then be the time of my kingdom on earth. There will thus be a truce in the demoniacal crime so as to give man time to hear the heavenly voices again. Once the power unleashing horror has been taken out of the way, immense spiritual currents will come down like waterfalls of grace, like rivers of celestial waters, to speak words of light. But as, over the centuries, they did not gather in the isolated voices, beginning with that of the Word, which speak of goodness, so men will be deaf, still deaf, except for those marked with my sign, my most beloved friend said on following me, deaf to the voices of many spirits, to the voices similar to the sound of many waters which, will sing the new canticle, to guide the peoples to meet the light, and, above all, me, the eternal Word. When the last attempt has been made, Satan will come for the last time, and will find followers in the four corners of the earth, and they will be more numerous than the sand of the sea. O Christ! O Jesus, who died to save men! Only the patience of a God could have waited so long, done so much, and obtained so little, without withdrawing his gift from men, and having them perish long before the hour indicated. Only my patience, which is love, was able to await you, knowing that, like sand filtering through a very fine sieve, some rare souls would come to glory, in contrast to the mass, that is unable and unwilling to lure through the sieve of the law, love, and sacrifice to arrive at me. But in the hour of my coming, when, in the role of God, King, and Judge, I will come to gather together the chosen, and curse the reprobate, hurling them there, where the Antichrist, the beast, and Satan will already be eternally after the supreme victory of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, victor over death and evil, to these chosen ones, who have been able to remain alive in life, alive in the Spirit, awaiting our hour of triumph, I will give possession of the heavenly dwelling, I will give myself unceasingly and measurelessly. Aspire to that hour, Maria. Call it and call me with all the strength of your spirit. Here I am, already coming when the soul calls me. Together with the Beloved One, who from the earth saw the glory of the Lamb, the Son of God, the glory of His and your Jesus, with every beat of your heart say come, Lord Jesus. I am just a tatter, a poor little tatter. All that remains to me is a soul immersed in sweetness. In dictating to me, Jesus has me understand that when he says earth, he means the world, taken not as a globe of dust and waters, but, rather, as a union of persons. I don't know, if I am able to explain properly when he says earth, he means, shall I say a moral entity, and when he says, earth, he simply means a planet composed of turf, mountains, and waters. The former is blameworthy, the latter is innocent. That is why he can say without contradicting himself, that the blood of the martyrs has become venom for the earth, which has drunk it and its inhabitants with sacrilegious wrath and shed it and its governing powers with a blasphemous abuse of temporal power, whereas the earth, globe, rotating in ethereal space, has respectfully drunk and lovingly received the blood of the martyrs and their convulsions in agony and presents the former and the latter to the eternal, maternally and mercifully asking that they not be shed and suffered for nothing, and that justice may be done to them. I am happy to have received the direct explanation from the book which I like so much, but, in human terms, I assure you that I am a wreck. I seem to be an empty thing, squeezed out. I no longer have anything inside after having had so much. In these days, crushed by the loud voices sounding inside me, I couldn't stand human noise, and there has been so much of it around me. I have suffered very much, caught between life's ordinary fetters and the master's supernatural demands. Well, now it's done. And I now say, a little rest, otherwise Jesus's poor little scribbler will split apart like a machine that's been overused. Now it's yours for the copy. But, when you bring me the text, bring me this notebook back too. I have less trouble correcting, if I have the manuscript in front of me. Otherwise, how can I remember and add the missing words? Who can remember them? I'll give it back to you afterwards. There is still more to be said, however. Jesus says, before closing this cycle there is something to be said about the two resurrections. The first begins when the soul separates from the body, and appears before me in the individual judgment. But it is only a partial resurrection. Rather than a resurrection, it could be called the liberation of the spirit from the sheath of the flesh and the spirit's waiting, to rejoin the flesh so, as to reconstitute the living temple, created by the Father, the temple of man, created in the image and likeness of God. A work in which one part is missing, is incomplete and thus imperfect. Man is a work, perfect in his creation, is incomplete and imperfect, if not joined together again in his different parts. Destined to the kingdom of light or the dwelling of darkness, men must eternally be in one or the other with their perfection as flesh and spirit. The first and second resurrection are thus spoken of. But observe, the one who has killed his spirit with any earthly life of sin comes to me, in the particular judgment, with a spirit that is already dead. The final resurrection will cause his flesh to take on again the weight of the spirit so as to die with it completely. Whereas the one who has overcome the flesh in earthly life comes to me in the particular judgment with an alive spirit that, on entering paradise, increases his mode of living. Those being purged are also alive. Sick, but alive. When healing is obtained in expiation, they will enter the place which is as life. In the final resurrection their spirits, alive with my life, to which they will be indissolubly united, will take on the flesh again, to make it glorious and live with it totally, just as I live with it. That's why the first and second death are spoken of, and, consequently, the first and second resurrection. Man must arrive at this eternal possession of the light, for in paradise you possess God, and God is light, by his own will, as by his own will he wanted to lose the light in paradise. I give you help, but the will must be yours. I am faithful. I have created you free, and I leave you free. And if you consider how worthy of admiration this respect by God for man's free will is, you can understand how right and proper it would be for you not to abuse it by doing evil therewith, and how right and proper to maintain your respect for, gratitude towards, and love of the Lord God. To those who have not acted dishonestly I say, your dwelling in heaven is ready and I ardently desire that you should be in my blessedness.